At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, BMW iX3 starts strong, Lucid Gravity disappoints, and the Porsche Cayenne EV range tested. Plus, stay tuned later in the show. I'll tell you one of the most interesting pickup trucks around just got more, well, interesting. We'll start with news of BMW saying the iX3 has collected more than 3,000 orders in Germany alone in the 6 weeks after debut, outpacing orders for the combustion X3. And that eases BMW's concern about meeting expected initial volume. The iX3, the new one, bundles new motors, new electronics, new batteries. I guess that's why they call it the Neue Klasse. BMW is saying it's the most efficient and advanced EV they've ever made, and that for its size as well in the marketplace. Production will begin at the new facility at Debrecen in Hungary, established for the Neue Klasse vehicles, with first European deliveries beginning in spring, US in the summer next year. BMW's prepping the Mexican plant as well, but that may be for US deliveries, that may not, we don't know, it might come from Hungary. So far, BMW has revealed only the dual motor iX3 50 xDrive. That's 463 horsepower. It's 62 miles an hour in 4.9 seconds. And the battery pack is 108 kilowatt hours. Its WLTP range, 500 miles, 805 kilometers, which BMW says is the longest range EV in Europe. I'll tell you why that's not true in a moment. And the German starting price is €68,900. That's $80,000 equivalent. But bearing in mind that that German price would have to be the out-the-door price, because we don't advertise prices over here without taxes and extra things like that. You have to advertise the price with VAT, and that's the price you would pay. So a starting price which is, you know, high, but not unreasonably high for that kind of vehicle. Unlike the BMW 3, until the BMW 3 Series launches, rather, with the same package and the same engineering, but in a smaller, lighter car, which could go further, for now the iX3 wins. It is a long-range EV, and 500 miles is nothing to be sniffed at, WLTP. But bearing in mind, we do have the Lucid Air now. In fact, Germans have the Lucid Air. I can't buy a right-hand drive Lucid Air, but you can get it in left-hand drive. Germany's one of the markets they sell it in. Now, the Lucid Air is obviously a vastly different body style than a BMW iX3, but it is available here now. And in its cheapest version, the rear-wheel drive Air Pure trim, that's 516 miles. On its smallest wheels, but it's €89,000. So it's, you know, it's €20,000 more. But again, it's a whole different segment of vehicle. It's a slippery sedan, where the Grand Touring, I believe, goes up to 597 miles rated WLTP if you run it on 19-inch wheels. And so It's huge. Lucid's not selling a lot over here in Europe right now. I'm sure they would love to. But they do technically have the longest range electric vehicle on sale. But I get BMW's point. Now, let's talk Lucid, because their other car, their new car, their SUV, the Gravity, just got a new range test by the best in the business, and that would be my friend Tom Logany from State of Charge. Now, there's no doubt the Lucid Gravity is highly impressive. It's a three-row, properly three-row, not, oh, we'll stick a couple of, you know, seats in the back for people with no legs, large SUV. Lucid rates, well, the EPA rates, although the EPA lets car makers submit their data and they go with that. Lucid rates the Gravity Grand Touring at 450 miles EPA. Helped by a 123 kilowatt hour battery pack. I believe that's 123 gross, not usable. Efficient in-house electric motors, compact packaging, and a highly aerodynamic body. The Grand Touring is the sole model on sale. It starts at $96,000. However, on a recent 70 mile an hour highway range test, things didn't go to plan. State of Charge host Tom Mulogany ran his standard 70 mile an hour highway range test on the New Jersey Turnpike, very little elevation. And he does a loop as well. It's very windy, but he does a loop and he ran it down to 0%. He pulled into the charger at 1%, but then it ticked down to zero. Tires at manufacturer pressures, the smallest aero wheels, ambient temperatures in the 50s. It was a nighttime run because he wanted to do exactly 70 GPS and traffic is busy. And so he finished at 3:32 in the morning, I think. Now, the Gravity posted, and the number is the number, by the way, 345 miles. 345? Yeah, I just told you EPA'd at 450 miles. That's a significant difference. And there's lots of mitigating factors in this. It averaged 3 miles per kilowatt hour, but it's more than 100 miles short of the EPA estimate and Lucid's efficiency target of 3.6 miles per kilowatt hour. Lucid Air will do easily 4 miles per kilowatt hour and more at those speeds. At 3 a.m., with the car at 0%, Tom couldn't start charging at the Tesla supercharger that he started at, considering it's the same charger that he'd just used, and the car wouldn't initiate a charge on any of the, I think he did 3 units on the supercharger. So with the car showing battery critically low on the dash, he crawled to an Electrify America station 1 mile away, and it saved him. Who would have thought? Electrify America to the rescue! It's one of the older stations in New Jersey as well, but it's a fast start. It's a 350 kilowatt DC fast charger. He needed like 5 minutes of charging to get home on the Gravity, but the Tesla supercharger simply wasn't playing ball, but we think it was the car. So luckily, Tom bought his CCS to NACS adapter because the Gravity has a native NACS port. He charged, he got home. Afterwards, he contacted Lucid. Now, the engineers, because it's a connected vehicle, were able to go through the data of the range test. They say they found a problem with the rear drive unit. It's not all bad news. The car will do 0 to 80% in 30 minutes. On a massive battery, but it's all about the efficiency as well. So you're going to add 280 miles of range in 26 minutes of charging, which is why Tom needed like 5 minutes to get home. However, a couple of questions. Tom has many questions. Go and watch the video. Link in the show notes if you want to spend, you know, 40, 50 minutes of Tom Mulogany brilliance of doing range testing. And there's no wonder why car makers send their cars to him to do that repeatable range, a proper range test, 70 mile an hour highway range test. But it was cold, it was windy, but you know, that accounts for a little bit. Lucid say that he left the rear climate on. That'd be a few miles. He turned it off, but it was on. But more concerning is the rear drive unit issue. But this was a press car that they'd shipped to him. Now, I'm not saying that they should fettle every press car, or even worse, tune them differently to what would be a customer series production car. You want something that is just representative of what a customer would buy. But the car drove fine and seemed fine, but Lucid say, no, we have an issue with the rear drive unit, which is what stopped it starting a charge on the Tesla supercharger at 3:30 in the morning. But that didn't flag up anywhere. So if you'd spent $100,000 on that vehicle, presumably you'd be driving around with it, and there is apparently an issue. They came and collected the car the next morning. It was gone. He didn't even get to finish his week he had with it, because they're like, don't use this vehicle, we'll get you a new one. So yeah, some questions around that, because, well, if the car is broken and wrong and they don't want him doing any more testing in it, and they came to get it, then that shouldn't have been shipped in the first place. Why wasn't the issue identified? And it, you know, it's complex. It's difficult. They're a startup company. They've been around a long, long time. Lucid has a big history. And this is a new vehicle. And I'm not pretending it's not harder than it is, but it's not ideal, is it? And so they'll get him a new car in the next, well, I'll say a few months, he'll do it again. But there, it gets really cold where he is on the East Coast. So maybe some warm weather range testing. And by the way, I'm fully aware that it's 350 miles, or 345, on a big three-row SUV. And it sounds like I'm bellyaching about it. And I'm really not. It's a very impressive result. Another range test done. Porsche's third all-electric model, the Cayenne Electric, logged the big number, 353 on a 70-mile-an-hour range test. However, they weren't production vehicles. They're 6 to 9 months away from series production. Very, very kindly. You know, Porsche, it's very, very open with the YouTubers who did this. And so, again, my friends Tom Logney, State of Charge, Kyle from Out of Spec, also Mac Hogan, Inside EVs, were invited by Porsche to come and drive these camouflage cars in the US, 70-mile-an-hour range test. Lots of variable speed, though. It wasn't perfect in traffic and also lots of elevation on the route they chose. But still, these are journalists, and they don't owe Porsche anything to, you know, fake the result or whatever. Well, there were Porsche engineers in the vehicle. So again, the vehicles were heavier than typically, you know, you'd normally do a range test with one person in it. It had luggage and stuff inside the Porsche Cayenne. These aren't finished vehicles. The engineers were using the drives as well for some validation stuff. So not a pure range test on a vehicle that isn't going to be made for 6 to 9 months, but the Cayenne absolutely smashed it. Now, the Cayenne uses 6 battery modules rather than the Macan's 12, integrating the modules on the Cayenne as a structural part of the vehicle rather than a battery box or tray. That reduces mass. It adds a second, a top battery cooling plate and heating plate as well, alongside the bottom plate for better thermal management. Porsche expects the charging to be materially better than a Taycan or a Macan. So 400 kilowatt charging, fantastic thermal management. And, you know, if you are 70 mile an houring a Porsche Cayenne after 350 miles, and it would have gone further because the batteries weren't even at zero when they ended it, then charging at 400 kilowatts with a great charge curve as well, I think it's fine. Like, you physically, you need a break as a driver and to go and get some refreshments, and off you go again. And so, yeah, they went down to 2% state of charge to get 353. Would have gone further, maybe, what, 360, 365. Wasn't a perfect range test, but that Porsche Cayenne, which is a long way off from series production, looks deeply impressive already. Now, China's extended range electric vehicles are now 10% of their NEV market in the second quarter of this year, a market that until now has been EVs or plug-in hybrids. EREVs are plug-in hybrids, but there's no official definition. I think we can define them as a battery and traction motors, which are electric, and gasoline engine, which charges the high voltage battery, never connected to the front wheels or rear wheels. That's not a perfect definition because some can connect to the wheels at highway speeds because there's not a traditional gearbox, but they can. Anyway, it's normally that extended range EVs means a gasoline generator. And so they're becoming a little popular in China because the car makers are advertising the total range. So, you know, 2,000 kilometer vehicle. Yeah, the battery, and they're big batteries as well in the Chinese one, 70, 80 kilowatt hours and an engine. And you just, it's kind of overkill, to be honest. Now, the European group Transport and Environment published a new study this week arguing that when EREV batteries are depleted, they're just as bad as conventional gasoline vehicles, emitting just as many pollutants. The principal justification for EREVs is that you plug them in and do everything you want to do electronically or electrically. But plug-in hybrid studies in Europe show owners seldom plug in and instead drive primarily on gasoline, producing equal or greater emissions and higher fuel spending. Plug-in hybrids have been one of the great cons of so many emissions reductions stories because many plug-in hybrids were bought because of tax benefits through fleets and business purchases, and yet the owners didn't put a plug charger on the wall of the house or whatever. They just got it because it was the cheaper version, and they never plugged them in. And so they're just as bad as combustion cars. And of course, plenty of plug-in hybrid owners do charge them to 100% and do most of their miles on electric. It's not everybody. But if you don't charge these vehicles, there's no point carrying around a really heavy, massive battery. Now, in China, that's not the case because there's a thing called utility factor. It's the share of driving that you do in electric mode. And EREVs in China have at least 70% utility factor. because people in China plug them in and drive them as electric vehicles. So they do have climate benefits, lower running costs, no range anxiety. Contributing factors cited for the outcome include China's big charging infrastructure and socio-technical environments where electric driving is more established and it supports owners using EREVs as intended, with massive batteries. Again, by the time you've got an 80 kilowatt hour pack in, if you live in a country that's got good charging and you're not towing, I'd argue just get the pure BEV and avoid oil changes. But still, if you don't, outside of China, there is not a culture of plug-in hybrids. And a lot of the car makers are now looking at EREVs and going, ooh, we could make those. Let's talk about how many plug sockets there are and chargers in the US and London, Australia, and we'll talk Model Y in Texas more when we come back from a break. Stick around, back in a mo.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, some plug stats for your weekend. The US public charging network now has 170,000 level 2 public AC ports, up 15,000 since the start of the year, and averaging about 1,500 new AC stalls a month, according to the AFDC. California leads with 45,000 level 2 AC ports, followed by New York, Florida, Massachusetts, and Texas. At the low end, Alaska has 109 AC ports, but you know, places where there's some more people, North Dakota, Wyoming, South Dakota, you know, in the hundreds of AC charging level 2 ports. Looking forward, a cautious forecast projects publicly available AC charging ports in the United States to exceed 173,000 by the end of this year and 175,000 sometime around the middle of Q1 next year. TfL, so London, Transport for London, TfL, their latest EV strategy plan shows London now has over 25,000 public charge points, comparing to 9,000 from 2021. Last time they did this report, London has also experienced a growth in ultra-rapid and rapid charging hubs to support fast charging electric vehicles. And in Australia, the fast charging network is now 1,272 locations and 3,500 charging plugs, according to the Electric Vehicle Council, the EVC. That is a 20% rise in locations and 22% increase in charging capacity versus last year, based on the first half of this year's data. New South Wales leads the way. The EVC also notes that the Charge at Large app provides good real-time status updates for the networks. Now, the Model Y standard is now in production at Gigafactory Texas, at least according to one YouTuber. The longtime Giga Texas watcher, Joe Tegmeyer, confirming on the social network X, Model Y standard production is well underway at Giga Texas, he wrote, and says the outbound lot holds numerous freshly built Model Y standard units,
along with some Cybertrucks as well. The Model Y standard is 321 EPA range rated, by the way, but they do delete around 20, some useful, some not so useful features. For what is still a very expensive car, heading towards $40,000, the only car in the United States with manual mirror adjustments, which seems saving a few cents for the sake of it. But if it helps you get in an EV, then it lowers the price, doesn't it? Now, Chargeway is an app. Now, Chargeway is adding real-time pricing to its map ahead of Electrify Expo in New York. Chargeway announced Chargeway Plus subscribers get real-time pricing for half of North America's public charging stations with price per kilowatt hour embedded into the app and station-level pricing in your own details and your mapping. So it's both cost and grid conscious drivers being able to make informed choices. I hadn't thought about this, actually. Yeah, when you pull up to a petrol station, you've always got today's prices on the big board outside, lit up in big lights. And those prices can change daily, weekly, in some cases multiple times a day, I've been reading. And so we don't really do that for electric vehicle charging. But this Chargeway Plus integration shows the electricity rates and how they change during the day and actually what it'll cost to charge your electric vehicle. So if you say, right, I'm going to arrive with a 5% state of charge, I'm going to go to 80%, this is the car I drive, and I'm going to go to a Tesla supercharger at, you know, in this location at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the app says, great, so your fill-up will be this many dollars. The CEO, Matt Teske, says drivers can see total cost and time to charge and decide where to navigate to based on total cost. That's really interesting. It's a good way of looking at EV charging, isn't it? Not just what's available and what plugs are there, but you might think, well, I won't go to the 350-kilowatt charger. I might go to the 150-kilowatt charger because my app is telling me it's a $10 difference on the charge I'm going to do. Now, historically, some networks even bill by the minute, but most of the time these days it's per kilowatt hours delivered. Utilities and time of use pricing encourage off-peak charging. And Chargeway now monitors the dynamic pricing. This is US only for now. And half the public chargers, actually North America, are now added. And so EV-related uncertainty for new buyers, and even I would love this as well. So, right, I'm going to arrive in this town or city. I don't mind where I charge, but here's where I want to go, and here's, you know, what it's going to cost me. Really interesting. The Canary Islands, Tenerife, Lanzarote, etc. The Canary Islands is launching a 1.8 million euro subsidy for some electric vehicle adoption. The program is aimed at professional passenger transport operators. So local transport companies, taxi and bus operators, commercial transport licenses as well in places like Gran Canaria, Lanzarote, Tenerife and Fuerteventura to go EV. BEV or B.EV is the company name. They're a charge point operator here. They have now lowered their pricing to 39 pence per kilowatt hour on their subscription tier, which is $9.99 a month. So it's 10 quid a month, 120 quid a year. But if you charge a lot on public DC charging and you are using the BEV network, then 39 pence per kilowatt hour is very cheap. Now, this is only the 7 p.m. onwards rate, by the way. So there's, yeah, a few hoops to jump through here. But it's 12 pence per mile on the average EV. That's half the average cost of DC fast charging here, which is, you know, around 52 pence for 150 kilowatt charging, 76 pence on the motorway, 90 pence or more. That's what, $1.10 for my US listeners on the more expensive DC fast charging we have. Yeah, we pay a lot. And finally, BYD make one of the most interesting vehicles out there. The BYD Shark 6 is a plug-in hybrid. It's an EREV, actually, big battery. But the engine can technically drive the wheels up at highway speeds. It will do a mechanical connect. BYD is now developing a 2-litre plug-in hybrid Shark that'll be rated for 3,500 kilograms braked towing, and that matches anything that diesel can do, like a Ford Ranger or Toyota Hilux. Fleet-oriented variants are planned, and a high-performance version, the Shark 6 MEG, would take on the Ranger Raptor. A cab chassis, Shark 6 is due next year for fleets, with increased towing capacity next year. The current 1.5-litre plug-in hybrid remains on sale with a 2,500-kilogram brake towing limit and 790 kilograms payload. BYD identifying that the limit on towing is a weakness compared to diesel vehicles in the sector, and will remedy that with the 2-litre DMO off-road powertrain. We find this in the Denza B8, 550 kilowatts of power going in a Shark 6. Now, the global utility vehicle segment is a big challenge to enter. It's a market where brand loyalty is high. Diesel powertrains have been the industry standard for a long time. High torque and good range. Key models like the Toyota Hilux and Ford Ranger have established 3,500 tons as kilograms as the required braked towing capacity. And if you can't do that, you are, you know, a second class truck or ute in Australian parlance. Any vehicle falling short might not even be considered. And so now BYD says they're developing a 2-litre version of that EREV Shark 6 in Australia to match that. The choice of plug-in hybrid powertrains is pragmatic, I think, for a working vehicle. Wouldn't be any good for me. I don't want to be doing servicing and oil changes and belts and pulleys and catalytic converters. But if you need the benefits of electric, because you drive on electric power, but with internal combustion, silent, zero-emission operations most of the time, but having that range extender for any range or towing limitations. I mean, I can't believe we're still talking about this, because this was BMW i3 Rex 10 years ago plus. However, if you have a working vehicle and, you know, you're towing a lot and, you know, big towing, and it's not so much the weight, it's often the size and the aero that affects towing more, then having that range extender wouldn't be for me, not for many people, but is a pragmatic, I think, approach for working vehicles. And you know, it comes with vehicle to load and all those kind of things for tools and external equipment. Not particularly common on diesel trucks. And so there are many benefits to this. I find the BYD Shark 6 one of the more interesting vehicles on the market because it tends to, I think, head off at the pass some of the criticisms aimed at the US trucks that are all pure BEV. You know, the likes of the Cybertruck, which isn't a working vehicle, and the Ford F-150 Lightning, which, you know, like all BEV trucks, can suffer if you're towing, you know, a really large load. And so, yeah, fascinating. I think fascinating stuff. Now, thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.